Welcome to Podcasting Tech, a podcast that equips busy entrepreneurs engaged in podcasting with proven and cost-effective solutions for achieving a professional sound and appearance. I'm Matthew Passy, your host and a 15-year veteran in the podcasting space. We'll help you cut through the noise and offer guidance on software and hardware that can elevate the quality of your show. Tune in weekly for insightful interviews with tech creators, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and strategies for podcasting success. Head to podcastingtech.com to subscribe to this show on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join us on this exciting journey to unlock the full potential of your podcast. All right, today we are joined by Kendall Brightman, the community manager at Riverside.fm. And as we've said before, Riverside is the platform that we use for recording this podcast. And we're excited to talk a little bit about it and some of the really great new features they've just been rolling out continuously. It seems like every day I pop onto Facebook, Kendall's posting something in the Riverside community group about, hey, we're doing this. So excited to talk about some of the latest and the greatest. And truthfully, by the time this updates, it'll probably seem like old hat. But Kendall, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about all the features we're releasing Riverside. And I'm glad that you're liking the updates. It's fun to post them. I love to see the comments coming in and see creators excited about it. So that's good to hear.
It's amazing. When I first started using Riverside, when it really kind of in the early days, when it was first released, it was this great platform, you know, one of the first out there that could record local ISO video on top of audio. Audio had been out a little bit before that, but the first one to do video. And I was like, oh, this is a great tool. Like, lots of podcasters should have a tool like this in their toolbox of production, whether it's for podcasts or, you know, YouTube or whatever else it is. But today the platform has become so much more. Tell us a little bit about what is the kind of vision there at Riverside as this like all-in-one podcasting tool.
Yeah, I think that's really the vision, is that we're trying to develop to become this all-in-one podcasting tool, like you just said. So the bread and butter of Riverside is really, as you said, like the local recording, high quality recordings, so that even if you're remote, you're still able to get that studio quality. But from there, we've just been developing, like our focus right now has also become the editor. So being able to take the recordings that you do and edit them, whether that's through AI tools, whether that's through transcript editing. And I think that really the name of the game, what I like to think the name of the game at Riverside is that we're opening up like studio quality recordings for more people, being able to get more people out there to tell their stories. And so with that also comes being able to give more people access to an editor, being able to edit their clips for social media, create show notes, just trying to make, like, our goal here is really trying to make end-to-end the recording and editing process just a lot easier and smoother, so that you can kind of get from record to publish with as little friction as possible.
And so, yeah, I mean, there's a few different text-based editors on the market, and you guys have kind of joined the fray in doing so, but you're starting to take it even a little bit step further. You have a lot of AI-based tools, and what are some of the ones that folks who are recording on Riverside can use to take their recording and go straight from that into post-production?
Yeah, so first off, I'd say the AI transcripts, and I'm not talking about transcript-based editing when I'm talking about this. I just mean that after you record, you get a really accurate transcript that then you can also use. Like, I love to use the transcript to put it into ChatGPT and say, hey, can you make social posts out of this? I used to say AI show notes, but we've actually also added that. So after you're done every Riverside recording, you get your transcript. You also get your AI show notes, and that has the summary, a few key takeaways, and then time-coded kind of chapters. So you can really just copy and paste that right into your hosting platform as your description and kind of just streamline that part of the process. And then on top of that, with editing tools, I mean, we had a remove silence feature that removes silences 3 seconds or more in your recording. And we actually just released our newest version of that AI feature that you can really record, whether that's 3 second pauses, 1 second pauses, to be able to speed up the pace of your video. We're really leaning into AI as part of the idea of making things easier for creators. So we have AI chapters. So after you record, when you go in your editor, it's already split up by chapters and what you talked about in each of those chapters. So those are just like three of the tools that come off the top of mind that like, and we keep adding more. I mean, by the time that this comes out, we might have more AI features in terms of audio coming out to really clean up your audio. So really just trying to see, like, there's so much that could be done with AI. I mean, as far as even besides show notes, like social posts or blog posts that you can take your transcript and create a blog post out of it. So really trying to lean into that, because the more work, I mean, we all know that when you're creating a podcast, the more work that you can kind of have done for you just creates more opportunities to do what we actually love, which is having these conversations, putting our content out there, connecting with the people that are listening to it, that type of stuff.
And what I love about Riverside, what I've noticed is that you especially are very active in the Facebook group, the kind of the community creators group that Riverside has going there. And what I constantly see are people asking a question like, how do I do this? Or can I do this? And your response 99 times out of 100 has always been, we can't do that yet. Or, oh, that's a really good idea. Let me, you know, submit that as kind of like a request for our developers to see if they can do it. And then it seems like for a lot of them within days or weeks, or maybe a month or two, if you know, they're more complicated, but it seems like you are listening to the content creators and constantly trying to hear what it is that they want and implement them. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would feel really like disingenuous if I was just commenting like, yeah, we'll let the team know. But we really are like, we are in direct communication all the time with our developers and our product team. And it's cool to see, like when I joined, I was surprised to see that, for example, when we have feature requests, we put them in a system that kind of upvotes them. And so as more people request different things, it'll become kind of on the top of those developers' screens. But beyond that, like we'll screenshot them and send them to each other on Slack. And you'll see kind of the product people saying, what if we added it to this tool? What if we did it this way? It's really cool to see that process. And we really do listen to what people want and what people are needing in their content creation. And then I also think that a key part of it is that a lot of us use Riverside. So if we're doing webinars, or if we're creating, we have a lot of people on the team that have their own podcasts on the side. So we're actually using it and developing it. And then those people in our company that do that, our product team will talk with them and say, even like, hey, if we're going to add a text feature, where would you even look for that on your screen? So really just trying to like keep creators in mind. And then something else that I think is pretty cool is that we have, like, Riverside started a few years ago, and it's around the time that a lot of people also started their podcasts. And I remember, random time to throw Harry Potter in here, but I remember when we were talking about, like, there was a documentary on Harry Potter, and they're talking about how the viewers actually grew with the main characters of the show. So people, like their target audience, were like, as they were growing up, so were the people that were obsessed with these movies. And so it kind of feels the same here, where like we developed this platform and a lot of people were starting podcasting around COVID. And so as they're developing, we're developing, and it feels like this really cool, like creating and growing together, if that makes sense. I'm glad I got to throw Harry Potter in there.
No, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. And in fact, it's true, because what I remember was, I think Riverside really first came on the scene either shortly before or shortly after the pandemic began. Mm-hmm. And I remember that because in my old business, we wanted to start offering video editing, and I was like, oh, this is kind of a struggle, right? You get the single feed from Zoom. It's, you know, not all that appealing. But then all of a sudden Riverside pops up and you get these isolated video tracks. And that really helped us be able to offer better video editing options than we could before that. And so right during the pandemic, a lot of people are stuck at home. A lot of people are thinking, how am I going to get my message out there? How am I going to communicate with the masses? And so a lot of them were starting podcasts around the same time that Riverside was popping up and starting to implement all these great features. I love how you recently added something about speeding up the pace of the conversation. What's that all about?
Yeah. So that actually, it's a really cool feature to me, because a lot of the time, like, I'll watch TikTok videos or something, and I'm like, how do these people talk so fast? And as you can already tell, I'm a fast talker. But you want to like, I've been told sometimes, but like you want to speed up your video, but without kind of sounding, I used to work in television news and we'd always speed up the videos and then everyone would sound like a chipmunk while you're editing. So this idea is that you're able to speed up the videos, but without it distorting the sound of your voice. So that's all about cutting out silences. So the new feature that we have with Set Pace, you can really just take a toggle and take it from your original pace to natural to fast, super fast, and just kind of toggle it back and forth and see how the video changes. Or you can export one in a natural pace and then export a clip in super fast. And so those were really, again, we're looking at content that creators are creating and then responding to that and saying, okay, how do we create something that's going to be more friendly for social? And that's going to help creators do it in a way that they're not individually picking out every bit of silence. So really, again, just trying to make it, like, if not one click, then just a couple clicks to get you towards your final product.
You know what I also found interesting was, you know, as you said, this was kind of created around the same time. Lots of people were starting their podcasts, but I'm often surprised by the types of uses that people talk about having with Riverside in the group. Like, oh, I want to use it for X or I want to use it for Y. Talk to me about some of the ones that you've heard people talk about and maybe any that really surprised you.
Yeah, I actually, like, the two that come to mind are actually about businesses. So, you know, podcasting is kind of the general use case. But then I spoke with a creator who interviews CEOs and like C-level positions, and they just sit down for an hour and we'll have a conversation every week. And then they'll take that and like either they will break it up for social clips to just get the CEO out there in front of users on social, or they will create internal videos based off of it. So that's one cool kind of use case. But the other one that's actually been pretty cool for me to see is that because, especially with things like the editor and making it easier to edit, you're able to open up for businesses more people who can kind of get in on the creation process. So somebody like me, like I'm a marketer, I'm not a video editor. But if I record something or if somebody else on my team records something, I can go in and edit it and make social clips and put them out there. And so in that case, I don't have to send it to my video editor, have that be added to the millions of projects that he's working on for really what is like a simple video. I'm cutting out two people having a conversation. But what we're seeing more businesses doing is that their social media managers are now video editors, or their head of communications can be. And so it kind of allows more people to be using it. And then on top of it, I mean, like there are a ton of just really interesting kind of podcasts out there. I saw one the other day where a guy was podcasting while he was like driving an Uber. So you could see, like, which I don't know. I don't know how if I want my Uber driver podcasting, but you could literally see people like walking, like coming into his car, walking out of his car as he's recording this podcast. And it was really a moment that I was like, wow, you can really record from anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. It's even less about like the privacy issue of I didn't ask to be on your podcast when I signed up for Uber, but more just the, even though you don't have your hands on your phone, like clearly you're not 100% focused on the road, right? Like that's just,
oh, yeah.
That I'm always bothered by whenever I see content creators who are doing something while driving. That's,
it was more of like an extreme use case, but those are definitely ones that pop out to me. But like we see people also like with documentaries or something like that, they'll record like their talking head kind of videos or record an expert. And they're able to still get the high quality that like it matches up with the rest of the documentary, things like that. So yeah, it's super cool to see just really like how people take it, whether that's in business or in their Uber driving business.
So, you know, to that point, right, because this platform allows you to record with people anywhere, anytime, it, you know, eliminates the need for people to be in person to still get high quality content. But it also means that you have a lot of people who are joining podcasts, joining conversations without somebody on site with them to help them out, right? Without someone physically holding their hand and whatnot. So I guess, what would be your advice to both the content creators and also just to the guests as far as how to ensure they get the best content out of this platform? I mean, it's easy enough, but right. If you do, what are the few tweaks that if you make, you'll get like the really just the, you know, recording out of it.
Yeah. My recommendation is if you can get your guests to use their phone as a webcam, that is my top recommendation because we make it easy to connect your phone. Also, if you have an iPhone and a Mac, you're able to connect via Continuity camera. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm recording on right now.
Same here.
So, yeah. And so, like, your laptop camera is only going to be able to go up to 720p. So no matter if you make everything look amazing, like, that's the quality that you're going to get. So my first thing is that if you have a guest that's, like, game to try to connect their phone, it's really a lot easier than you'd think. And in that case, you're just able to get a lot better quality. Asking them to wear wired headphones, I have heard from many an audio editor. And so, but my main kind of recommendation is that you're going to want to pick a few things that are most important to you. So for example, if you want that high quality video, asking if they can connect their phone or wearing the wired headphones. When I see a list of like, face a window, wear wired headphones, connect with this, do that, like it becomes too much and you want them to really like come into the conversation like as if it's a normal conversation. You know, the more that you try to like set up and create this moment, the more like the less natural they're going to be. So
that's a really good point.
I just find that like, it's also why I, there are different settings within the Riverside studio. Like I disabled my countdown only because I felt like there's a countdown once you press record that takes you down from 5, only because I feel that sometimes when you're about to record, you get a little bit more upright, you get a little bit more, like I want to put as little friction between person and having that conversation as possible. But little things like we have on our community group where we're going to be posting them soon, like a quick checklist of face, don't have a window behind you, face a window, but trying not to kind of overload them with as much information.
If we had a very similar list that we would give clients to pass along to their guests. And if I can make one recommendation, the last thing on that list, smile. It is, people always forget that one, obviously this is a video, you know, visual medium that we're using it in, but even if you're just using the audio off it, people can hear the difference between someone who is smiling and excited to be on your podcast versus the person who's like, yeah, thanks for having me. Right. Like if this person doesn't sound like they want to be here, why do I want to listen to that? And so we always included that as the last step for everybody. It's like, all right, you've got this. Now smile and have fun.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would also say what makes a huge difference is like eye level camera. If you're going to have that, like I've seen so many videos where the person has like it on clearly on their laptop camera and they're kind of just like looking down at it. And it really just like, even just having them put their laptop, if that's the webcam that they're going to be using, on a stack of books, just having it eye level makes such a difference.
You know, that might be me then requesting in a feature, which is the ability to arrange the boxes on the recording the way I want it. Cause right now I have you kind of squished in and we're stacked on top of each other, but I'm on the top and you're on the bottom. So I'm looking down a little bit to watch you. Whereas I should, you know, I want to be looking at you at the camera level. So maybe if that's not a request that's already in the making, you can drop that to developers.
I'm going to drop it to developers either way, but I do know that it's something that we're aware of. So I hope that we can have some updates for you on that, because that and editing layouts too are definitely on our radar.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a little bit of room for improvement, but I think to your point earlier, if you are not a full-time video editor, if you have not done tons of video editing in your life, if you don't have the budget to outsource this to a professional video editor, the nice thing is that you can go from recording to editing and put out a really nice product. It is not going to look like, you know, it came out of Hollywood, or it's not going to look like, you know, Joe Rogan kind of setup, but it is going to be quality enough that you can stand by it, you can post it, and you can be proud of it. So encourage folks to use it. Just we have questions that we ask everyone, but before we get to that, you know, you have a interesting background in journalism, and you mentioned, you know, working in television, but you've taken on this role as a community manager, and so many podcasters need to have a community. They need a Facebook group. They need a way to mm-hmm. interact with their audience. So just wondering, what have you learned in that role as a community manager that maybe you can pass on to podcasters, a way to improve the way they connect to their audience?
I would say so. Yeah. First of all, I was actually going to mention this when we're talking about the stacking. I'm just so used to I worked at NBC News and Bloomberg News before this. I've gotten so used to just like looking in a camera as if it's a news hit and being like, back to you. You know what I mean? So I'm always just like looking at this camera rather than my computer. But my background is in television production, and I was a political reporter. And so my biggest piece of information when you're starting a community is to not assume anything and to listen. And by that, I mean, like, I'm from the world of journalism. So when I started the community, I was like, okay. Or when I started my community manager role, I was like, okay, people want to network. Like, they want, like, I'm coming from a place that, like, who you know is your currency, how you speak, like, having that kind of community of sources and things like that. So I came into it being like, networking, that's the name of the game. But then what I did was I actually took time to speak individually to community members. And once I dug in, I realized that my assumptions were partially correct. Like, people do want to network, but like, if you dig into it deeper, they want to network because they want to learn from each other or make their podcast better in some way, whether that's finding a guest for it, whether it's promo swaps, whether it's having a mentor that they can ask, like, have you used this mic? So it's a lot about learning. That was the main driver. And I wouldn't have found that out unless I spoke with people and actually listened. So some of that was from user calls. Some of that was from going to other communities and just seeing what the conversations are like. Going to Reddit and filtering based on like the most popular posts. Like, what gets people talking, excited, engaged? It's almost like if you think about your community like a party, you know, like, what do your people want at the party? What kind of music do they want at the party? What time does it start? You know, like, understanding what they want and delivering that. And I think sometimes it takes going to other parties to do that, is what I mean. Like, seeing where they're like congregating, seeing what they're excited about. So as you build your community, I would say, like, maybe you're not able to reach out directly to your listeners, but maybe let's say that you have like a health and wellness podcast. Maybe it's about going to Facebook groups that are about that and just seeing what people are asking, what's exciting to them. And then not spamming them with your content, but like engaging with them to make yourself part of the party. And then kind of be like, also, there's a pretty cool party happening over here and it's mine. Why don't you come over? You know? So I think that it's about just, it's about listening and understanding and then reacting from there.
It's so interesting because as podcasters, what we want are listeners. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, what you were saying, which I totally agree with, is one of the best ways for you to get more listeners is you have to listen. And yeah. I don't think a lot of people think of it. They think, well, I've got the microphone. Everybody should be listening to me. But no, what does your audience want? What is your community looking for? What is it that's going to resonate with them? And maybe you are one of those people who just knows, but most of us don't. So you're going to have to go out there and ask the questions and find it out. So once again, Kendall is the community manager at Riverside.fm. If you haven't checked out that platform before, we encourage you to do so. We'll have a link to it here on the bottom in our show notes, and you can check it out. And as I've said, all the interviews that we've done up to this point have been through this platform. So I've been a big fan of it and been using it forever. Before we let you go, we're going to ask you a couple of questions that we've been asking everyone. First of all, just on your tech stack real quickly, I know you're using a Shure MV7. Kind of yes. See that working right there. And as you've mentioned, using your iPhone continuity camera. Any other tech in your life that you personally want to get a hold of? Is there some device or something out there you're like, I really wish I can get X, whether it's out there or something that someone needs to create for you?
Well, okay. So I will say that I'm in the Riverside office right now, and we're building our studio. So these are like low hanging fruits, but I'm just like trying to build up a studio here. So I'd say this is like studio for beginner. I want to get an Elgato key light only because then you can balance, do the white balance from your computer. And kind of like right now I have a ring light that kind of is set to three different modes, like kind of more yellow, blue, or white. So I want something that you can actually like program on your computer and really change the settings there. So from one of my colleagues, Steven, who has a crazy setup, he recommended the Elgato. So we're looking into that.
We had the pleasure of chatting with Steven, and yeah, he's not the first or the last to mention that being one of the things that they want.
Yeah, well, yes, and Steven's setup is crazy, like a whole smart home thing where you could adjust the lighting. And now, compared to that, this is a really low-hanging fruit. But I really want a microphone boom arm. Do they call it a boom arm here? In TV, I remember they called it that, like a mic arm. Exactly like that. Wow, now you're just bragging. I'm kidding, but it's just like, like the importance of that for me is just to be able to type and have my arms around and feel like I'm not going to knock the microphone in that way. And just as few things that I can have on this desk. So my like very beginner kind of wish list is that Elgato key light and probably a Rode. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. This arm. Is the PSA 1 plus. This is it's funny because I had the boom arm that literally when I left my last job in radio, the engineer was like, I'm giving parts away to people who I know will use it. Otherwise they're going to get scrapped. And so I had this, it was a nice mic arm, but it, you know, after a while I got a little janky and I just upgraded this about a year or so ago. And the other day I was chatting with someone and they were talking about the Elgato boom arm, but not the one that hangs down, the one that comes up. It's like what they call like a low profile arm. And I'm sitting there thinking like, oh man, I really want that. But as you say it, one of the reasons why I like this is because it keeps my arms free. Right. If I need to reach around on my desk or something like that, I'm not banging into it, as you said. So
exactly. I want something from the side. Yeah. That kind of like hangs down. And then I'm like facing a wall right now. So my dream would be to kind of have like some sort of tripod to hold my phone out of the wall. Cause right now when I type, it's because the tripod's on the desk, it can get a little shaky. So really my whole thing's about like stabilizing and lighting right now. That's been my goals here.
So good to know there's not an earthquake where you are recording from.
Yeah, or else you'd really see it in this video.
Outside of the things that Riverside is doing, is there places where you'd like to see improvement in the podcasting space in general, whether it's from the, you know, on the creator side, on the publisher side, on the listening side? Like, is there just something that if you had the power to wave your arm and say, I wish we could do this in podcasting?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I think there needs to be more support on bigger platforms for indie podcasters. By that, I mean like everyone is listening to Wondery or like, you know, those bigger kind of like conglomerates,
the media companies.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always like that. But I really wish that maybe like Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts would push up some of that independent creator content, because people are making really incredible content. And then you go on to Apple Podcasts and it's all the Wonderies, the Dear Medias, that kind of stuff. So I really wish that there'd be a little bit more celebration of like what people are kind of doing on their own. I don't know how that would, I mean, my first thing would say like Apple Podcasts kind of featuring those a bit more, but yeah, that's been something that I wish, because I've discovered so many podcasts since I've joined that now I've kind of told my friends about it and they've loved them. And then they wouldn't have been able to find it otherwise. And there's so much good content out there.
Yeah, that's in a conversation we had recently, we were talking about how it wasn't that long ago that this space was dominated by independent creators and that big brands and media conglomerates were like, eh, that's cute, but we're not really interested. And now the tables have totally turned. There's lots of money, lots of big companies. Everybody is making a play for podcasting. And it's kind of, like you said, push those more independent voices off to the side. So unfortunately, Spotify has an interest in promoting their big ones because they're paying those creators. And, you know, same thing with Apple, right? Wondery is selling subscriptions. So Apple is kind of incentivized to be like, well, yeah, let's sell more subscriptions because we're getting a piece of that. So it is hard thing to reconcile.
Exactly. And then you also see a lot of creators now making their own networks. So like mm-hmm. I talked with a creator who has an AI podcast. He's doing a network of other AI podcasters. And so it's smart, but I just wish that there were ways to really like uplift more voices.
Well, speaking of which, I'm going to give you a chance to do that because the last thing we always ask everybody is their favorite podcast that they're listening to. So what's one or two that when those episodes drop, you are immediately listening to, or, you know, you're not going to let those just hang out in the library for too long?
Okay, this is like kind of embarrassing though. So I listen to a lot of like reality show podcasts.
That's okay.
And it's just because I like to just like listen to a podcast, like either it's true crime, and lately I haven't been as into it. I go up and down. Or it's reality television podcasts. So my embarrassing one, and I'm just going to be completely honest. It's called Reality Gaze. And it's two gay men who are hilarious talking about reality TV. And this is what I mean when like with like independent kind of podcasters. So I was like sitting here listening to them laughing alone. And then I found their Facebook group, and there's like 20,000 people in that Facebook group. I don't know if that's exactly the number, but it's like thousands and thousands. And so it's really, and then I joined it and immediately was just like, wow, there are all of these people like me that are listening to like this hilarious reality TV show recap podcast. So that's my embarrassing one. But then I feel a little bit, a little bit validated by the fact that I found this Facebook group and I'm like, there are more of you. So that's my little shout out. And I hope you don't judge me for it.
There is absolutely no judgment here. That's the beauty of podcasts, is that everybody can find something that is special to them. And it could be huge, grandiose, you know, general mass appeal, or it can be really tight, specific niches. And even that niche, it doesn't have to be what you're talking about or who you're talking to, but just the filter for which you are talking about it. And so I'm sure there's lots of reality show, you know, podcasts and reaction shows and whatnot. But, you know, the fact that you found this one that speaks to you in a way and obviously has a huge community that supports it, I think that's exactly what makes this medium so great. And judgment-free zone. You listen to what you want to listen to.
No, I listen to a bunch, and it's just, there's some hosts, like, I think that that's a really important part of this, that there are some hosts that you just connect to more, that you can be recapping. Like, I hear so much people saying, oh, there are enough podcasts. Do we need another podcast? You'd never say that about, like, do we need another book?
Right.
You know, like Netflix and Hulu put out the same storyline at the same time, and still people watch both and then talk about which one they like more. So if like there are so many, like there will be so many podcasts recapping the same exact episode of the same exact reality show. It's about finding hosts that you're like, I just enjoy every minute of hearing you talk about this topic.
Well, and I think you're highlighting the thing that makes a good podcast great, is that mm-hmm. when you feel that connection, when you stop feeling like a listener and you feel like the host is in the backseat of your car chatting while you're driving, right? And it feels very intimate and very connected, and you feel a bond with them. If you can accomplish that, you're doing something really special. And, you know, it might take some time, but you should be able to find success with this space. And in the meantime, if you're thinking about doing that and you need to connect with people remotely, can't emphasize enough that we like Riverside.fm. Kendall Brightman is the community manager for them. We encourage you to check them out. And so grateful that you took the time to chat with us today. And I'm sure with all the new features you guys are coming out with, we can do this again in a few months.
Yeah, I would love that. Thanks so much for having me on. This was great.
Thanks for joining us today on Podcasting Tech. There are links to all the hardware and software that help power our guest content and podcasting tech available in the show notes and on our website at podcastingtech.com. You can also subscribe to the show on your favorite platform, connect with us on social media, and even leave a rating and review while you're there. Thanks, and we'll see you next time on Podcasting Tech.